Well, let's see. Okay, I know the accordion scared everyone outdoors. The accordion has scared you outdoors, but come on back in. You know, one time we were on a beach. One time we were on a beach, and on this beach there were 3 canoes and 2 kayaks. There were about 4 kids. There was 1 grandparent at that particular time. There were 4 or 6 parents. And we were all happy. Why, we were singing and a-dancing in the sand and a-hipping and a-hopping on the logs and going up and down with the tides and having a good time. Until one day when another paddling group arrived on our beach, making camp just a mile farther south. This was a trip when I'd paddled with the accordion in the stern of our canoe. And we sang sea shanties oftentimes with Bob Bune, who's here tonight, former choral director for Ballard High School for many years. Right over here. You've heard him sing at Sound Falls if you've been here. He's great. And we love sea shanties. So I actually literally packed the accordion, not the Patosa, but the kind of the DC-3 of my accordions, the road version. Put that in the stern in a dry bag, and we were out in these remote beaches playing the accordion and singing. This person who made camp marched all the way down the beach slowly. First, we thought, oh, they're not taking a walk. Yeah, they're very walking over to our camp. They're still walking over to our camp. They're walking to me. And they said, and help me if I get this wrong, but they said, you know, I came out here to get away from sounds like that. Last year, people brought an air compressor and set it up. Now this, an accordion. And it's true. And we put it away. We were respectful. We think, yeah, this is pretty noisy of us to be out here singing sea shanties on the coast. So we just closed up shop there. Well, what we're going to do now, I just did a little Ramones tune there. Before that was a little Chinese polka, which was from a French-Canadian tune. It's a little mixing of cultures. True, that's the name of the piece. And I also did the Knack, My Sharona, if you didn't hear that, mixed in there. It's like it goes like, you know, basically goes. That's pretty much the basis of the song. That's My Sharona, right? And then I did attempted the A-ha tune right at the end there. Did people get that? Was it A-ha? What the heck's the name of the song except A-ha? A-ha. It's, this was hard to figure out. Oh, you got it. Yeah, take John. John knows that one. All right, it's one of my favorite songs. That was hard to learn. I learned it, and then with virtually no recognition, so I had to just give myself some. Anyway, the accordion, and we always tell a lot of music jokes. I'm going to put this down, tell a little story, and pick it up again when Maren and I will sing with Susan, and then the band will come back on shortly, so don't... don't worry. I was just going to say about the accordion. There's always some good, you know, jokes from musicians, like, how do you get a drummer off your porch? Pay him for the pizza, right? Or, like the one we tell about banjos and accordions and all that kind of thing, is, what do you call it when you chuck an accordion into a dumpster and it lands right on a banjo? Perfect pitch. Perfect pitch. And again, we spent a lot of time on the ocean, the quiet ocean with these families, and we told that joke a lot. So I like the pizza one quite a bit. What I'd like to do, thinking of the coast, the year is 2010, and then already 14 years ago, Maren and I... paddled down the coast from Glacier Bay all the way back to Seattle. I can't believe that's 14 years ago. And I grew my hair out. It's been down and then back up since then. It's a measure of time of sorts. And I wanted to just, I was kind of thinking of the spring and looking at Venus in the sky and sort of seeing the you know, season turn again, which it is tonight. You know, today is like the first day of spring, isn't it? The vernal equinox. Where's my dictionary, in fact? I need that dictionary. There's something I did some research on this before I tell my story. Thank you. Thank you. The dictionary. Do people even use these anymore? Big dictionary as opposed to just typing it in. So I thought, what's another name for the first day of spring? The vernal equinox. So I wanted to read a few definitions. You know, it's always fun when you've got some definitions, different meanings of different words. So I've been thinking the first day of spring and what vernal equinox might mean around the world. Vernal. Vernal, I have it marked. Vernal. Wow, I'm getting old all of a sudden. Vernal. That's not. Yeah, it is. Let's see. Fresh. New. Like the spring. It is the spring. Oh, thank you so much. Youthful. I like that. Like sunshine. Of, relating to, or occurring in the spring. Mm-hmm. And I also found that vernal, another meaning here from a different dictionary, is vernal, that which pertains to Vern or belongs to Vern. It's vernal. A few things there. Sounds like spring. So let's go back to equinox. What is that about? Equinox. There it is down here. Not surprisingly. Let's see. Either one of the two times of each year when the sun crosses the equator in the day when night and everywhere are equal length. So everyone on Earth. The night and day are equal. Equinox. Again, the other dictionary I consulted. Equinox. Says a shaggy mammal that has a head-like protrusion near the rump, known as a Rumpsfeld, which from a distance gives the beast a symmetrical or equal appearance. An equinox. Vernal equinox. That's why they could, was it, Letterman always just chucks things behind him. All right, well, enough of that. But yeah, spring comes, and I think my bookmark has been moved. Well, we went on a coastal trip a long time ago, and it was a wonderful time when many, you know, your days kind of became day and night equally. They were just not so much measured in hours, but measured in tides and currents and in the people you met and the paddle strokes you took. And here's just a paragraph that might give you an example of what it was like. It's like you can paddle with agility and skill and endurance along a shoreline, but that's entirely different from letting go of that shore. On a crossing, you confront that which lies beyond, a vague and distant land, exposure, changes in wind and tides, and after a point, no returning, no chance to abort. When you've crossed open water, no matter how calm or tempestuous or how often, you've crossed something in yourself, confronted and conquered and transcended a fear, a doubt, and passed into the gracious shores of new land and known water. You are thankful often on a trip like that, that you made it to the next campsite, which you didn't even know about the day before. Maybe you had an idea. You had a plan A, maybe a plan B, and plan C. And maybe those didn't work. Maybe they did. But I remember being thankful that spring and into summer quite often as Martin and I crossed vast bodies of water, straits in Alaska that were 6-8 miles wide, some about 10 to 15. Puget Sound, for instance, is about 3 to 4 miles across. And it was quite a gift when you found a place that you could actually just sleep for the night and stop and be safe, as long as the bears weren't right behind the trees. So I thought about thankfulness a lot. I grew up in the Midwest, as many of you might know, in the heartland. And my father was a pastor. So we would go out often, be invited often, call it weekly, to go have lunch with various people in the congregation. And these were people, variety, you know, folks. And I didn't know them all that well. Some of them I did. They would always kind of do a little boxing number with me. And, hey, you know, a little kind of relate to the kid kind of gesture, which was always fun. But I didn't really know them. There was one man. I knew them like, that man looks like Julius Caesar. You know, that man, this woman sings. You kind of knew that. And maybe if they wore outlandish ties or not. And oftentimes we were invited to lunch and be very formal. And they were putting everything out, all the silver, the family silver, if they had that on the table, and everything had its own dish. And we were, you know, instructed, okay, now, this is very special to these people to have us over. They prepared a lot of food, and you need to eat everything. And I didn't want to eat everything. I already knew that. I just wanted to figure out what they had for dessert. And hopefully it wasn't Jell-O with cottage cheese in it. Or on it, or near it, because that was a problem for me. But I had to keep laughing and smiling and doing the kinds of things you had to do as a kid. And most of these dinners were, like, quite lavish. I mean, they weren't, like, over the top, probably, but they were quite lavish and very formal. You know, the white linens were out. The silver, as I said, there was gravy that was in a boat. And you pour it always or dip it out. There's a ladle as well as a spout. And these questions were difficult for me. And there was a long, you know, the long fork, the short fork, the spoon on the top kind of thing going on. And I didn't know all these things. And just, should I drink water or the juice first, or did it matter? These are the questions that made them very stiff. And I would come home and I'd just be like, oh my gosh, this is the physical therapy coming on. And I would start doing these, or just like, you know, stretch. And most of the time, I did have a good time, really. You know, I would try to talk about school or about maybe football. I was a little guy out in the end who would run away from people, you know, and just try to catch the ball if I could and not get too injured. And wasn't that great? And, oh, yes, I'm studying school. A lot of school is very busy. And eating a lot most of the time. There was one day, though, one Sunday afternoon, that I was kind of prepped for a little bit differently. They said, okay, we're going out for Sunday lunch again. Awesome. That's really great. I didn't say awesome in those days. What did I say? Cool or wonderful. Or I probably said no or something. Probably it was what I said in those days. I'm not going. I don't wish to go. But it's like Sunday again. We're going for dinner at Dennis's house. And I was like, Dennis, it's Julius Caesar. This is not boxing guy. This is not, who is this guy? And I didn't really know Dennis. And my parents said, you know, we've done a lot of these Sunday dinners, and they've been very fancy, and there's always a lot to eat. And at Dennis's house, it'll be different. So I didn't quite know what that meant. But she said, just like the usual message then kicked in, just eat what's on the plate. Eat what you're given, and be thankful for it. I said, okay. So we drove to a neighborhood I'd not been to. Kind of stopped. It was a Sunday, you know, so a lot of shops were closed. And we parked in front of a Chinese restaurant. Kind of was an older area of outskirts of St. Louis. And it was a place where there was apartments above these restaurants and old brick buildings. And on summer days, which this was, the curtains would blow out of the windows because there were no air conditioning or fans. And this was not a neighborhood that one would really ever bike through or walk through as a kid. It was not really near my home at all. And it wasn't really clean. And it was really an urban center, basically, of St. Louis that had not really been taken care of for many years. So we walked up the back stairwell, as you might imagine, to a place and rung, I think, apartment B for Dennis. And this guy answered, and I kind of recognized him. He'd been going to the church and occasionally. And it was just him. Didn't have a family. He was middle-aged, I think, as I recall. My sister and I are there, and we're all dressed up, and he's probably wearing his best, which is, you know, maybe a T-shirt and some jeans with a lot of paint on them. I think he'd tried to be a painter. And that was his best, I was thinking, because he was having the pastor over for dinner. And there was a card table and four or five paper plates. And he had us sit down. It wasn't a whole lot of conversation. And then he brought out some bologna sandwiches on Wonder Bread and some chips. And we ate. And didn't talk too much. It was kind of awkward. He wasn't like, hey, how are you doing in school? He wasn't like trying to tell me about, asking me about a school even. He was just kind of smiling and saying, thanks for coming over today. And at the end of this rather awkward meal, there was no dessert. I was kind of bummed about that, you know. Kind of felt like I should say something like, hey, if I expect something or sit there longer, and it might come, might materialize, but it didn't. And he had a few records, albums in those days, over near the stereo, and he took my sister and I over there, and he pulled out this album, which I listened to this song, and I heard it again last week, and it brought this memory back, so I wanted to share it with you. Dancing in the Moonlight by King Harvest. That may not be familiar to all of you, but it's a tune. Can our whistler whistle that? Where's your whistler? No, we'll get bring that back later. And it's kind of like a classic rock tune. It's not really hard rock, but it's like a classic tune. And he gave it to us. And it's one of those memories. And I think just, you know, think in your own lives where you've had these times where you've been really thankful or seen thankfulness and graciousness, I think, in the regular days of their life. Dennis kind of gave us this album, and he only had about 5 albums. And he gave us bologna sandwiches, and that's probably a chunk of his food for the week. And I was pretty stunned by that. As I got older, I thought of it often. I mentioned it to my sister just to see if she'd remember this. And she goes, yeah, I've been thinking about that from time to time. Dennis, that's right. That was Dennis. I remember Dennis. I don't eat bologna, but I remember Dennis. You know? And I'm really thankful that my parents were able to take me out to meet a variety of people when I was growing up. And again, perhaps you've had some of those experiences and been at Dennis's place before. And as I thought about the spring and paddling and the thankfulness that we had there, I was just thankful for that experience. And I know that it was very powerful to have Dennis share that simple bologna sandwich with us that day. So as we hear this wonderful music tonight and the treats and the wonderful space that Rogers fitted out here in the old barn. Look at the old beams here that are more than 100 years old, and the trees are much older than that they came from. I'm thankful to be here. And looking out at all of you as just great friends, a great community of people. And thank you for coming tonight and just sharing a neat evening of whistling and even accordion music. Okay? So what we're going to do now, I'm going to put on the accordion again for a final time tonight. And Susan's going to come up. Marin's going to also stand up. And we're going to sing an old sea shanty. Although it might not sound like so much like a sea shanty to you in this version. I think it's Caribbean origins. And it's a really beautiful and haunting melody.
This to you here. You go ahead and tune, but originally a pumping shanty of West Indian origin, sometimes sung as chalo brown, chalo being Caribbean for half-caste. So I don't know if you're familiar with June Tabor. She has some wonderfully haunting melodies on this CD called Elaine, which I believe means alone, right?
Yep.
And so she and some other folks turn this Caribbean tune around, and then Susan said she recognizes it as a sea shanty. Okay, now we're not going to monkey around with this too much. Are we? Mm. bound away to leave you shallow, shallow brown, bound away to leave you shallow, shallow brown. Master's gone to sell me shallow, shallow brown. Master's gone to sell me shallow, shallow brown. Sell me for a dollar, shallow brown. Great big Yankee dollar, shallow, shallow brown. Fare thee well, Juliana, shallow, shallow brown. Fare thee well, Juliana, shallow, shallow brown. Bound away to leave you shallow, shallow brown. Bound away to leave you shallow, shallow brown.
All right, let's bring that good band right back up here. Maybe while the band comes up and gets set up, Julia just asked me, she says, when are we going to do the whistling thing? Some of you might have a favorite whistle that you'd like to share with Kirsten. She's whistled for us. Like, for instance, Julia might kick things off here. Allison, I know Allison's a veterinarian, and she's got to summon animals with a whistle of some kind. Isn't that true? Julia claims her whistle is piercing, so let's all celebrate that. Here's, and Julia, this whistle is a whistle for guinea pigs.
That's how I call them.
Are there any other whistles that I know that Ted has a whistle?
Yes.
Ted, you've got a whistle. I mean, if anyone has a whistle that's piercing, it's Ted Stoidel. You can, no mic, please. Just do right there. Oh, and that birdie, that one that sounds like a little bird? That kind of thing? Yep. No, it's not me. Yeah, that one goes. Oh, there's a what? Oh. It's like a loon. Mine is a loon call.
Who else has a whistle? Any other whistles?
I've got a whistle.
Andrew has a whistle.
My dad is a nice kid, and we used to call the coyotes with this, and they'll answer you. It's been a while. When I was a kid, I'd do it. I'll do the owl.
Yeah?
Woo!
Yeah.
There's, hey!
Here's my dog whistle.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's good.
Wow.
Okay. Well, so if any more whistle, I think that's all. You know, getting. I think that's cool. It's been outside my tent several times. I know that's what I don't know. It's you. Yeah, you are the backcountry ranger as well, right? Goes around taunting people and. Well, I think let's bring whistling back into our lives and win the light. How about that?
Channel right? The inner whistler.
The inner whistler. Whistling way. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, just before the band gets going, these folks do a lot of good things with their music, not just as musicians. And one thing that they're involved in is a program called Challenge Air. And what this does is help gets kids, I think is what you said, up in the air, literally. Gives them a chance. Yep, special needs, people with disabilities, a variety of types, to get them up in the air and able to fly an airplane. Kind of fun. And they're raising money to get a new Cessna to do this. They want an old Cessna. Yeah, it's like Wings of Mercy.
It's just to get the special needs kids up in the air and give them an uplifting experience.
Oh, I like that.
Literally.
This will be the fourth year.
Okay, fourth year in Everett. And this is the Fly Day Everett Fly Day fundraiser, and it's going to be at the Pacific Rim Supper Club in Marysville. A lot of these folks are from today in the Dowry Band. All ages are there. April 10th, 5 to 11. That's right after the Valve Pit meeting and the Silent Retreat Gab Club and all that kind of thing, right? And there's a lot of other bands there. Rachel May Band, The Dowry with Susan Burke. These are the folks. Fire Creek and Don Joseph, who's a singer-songwriter up there. So that is the news. So if you can get up to Marysville on April 11th or April 10th from 5 to 11, that'll be fun. So it's neat, you know. If you have it's just cool to get out there, use your talent, help other folks out. The spirit of this. Well, let me get these. Sounds good. I think the mics are about balanced. I'll just step out of your way and go to it.
This is a tune that was comes from the 19th century, written by J. Scott Skinner, a Scottish fiddle tune. Isn't quite as old.
No, this
but you might remember it. Then there's a few contra dance tunes.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. What? Oh, gotta start again. Huh? Yep.
This is Celt, right? Thank you. know that song was that old, didn't you?
We like to go with the classics.
300 years at least.
We only play classical music here.
Classical.
Yeah. We're going to do some jigs. Of course, these are mostly Scottish. We try to keep them as mostly Scottish as possible. And what can I tell you? Two of them come from Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia, which is the kind of music I like to play the most. It's a kind of old... Oh, yeah? We'll talk. Okay, cool. Yeah, that old Highland tradition is kept beautiful and full of life up there. So anyway, here's a few of these tunes. I think we can... Are we set? We're almost set.
Oh, I think so.
I want you to know I got out of the St. Patrick's Day fever. You know, we had so many things going on for St. Patrick's Day, I was like in bed for the last 2 days. So, you know, you hear it in my voice. I'm glad to be vertical again, feeling much better. Here we go.
Thank you. stolen?
No. Anyway, I send regards from Duval. The rest of this group is mostly from the Marysville Everett area, but I do represent Duval and love to play music in this area because of the fact that you can sit in places like this. So it's so wonderful. Oh, yes, thank you. On lead guitar, we have Dave Skorupa. On bass, and the big smile, no, she is not excellent. This is Jennifer Parkinson, who is, they're Mr. and Mrs.
Yes.
Parkinson Skorupa.
And, just like my last name.
And this is our brand new drummer, Rusty Hicks. And I'm Susan Burks. Thank you very much for having us tonight. We're going to play a few more tunes. This last group of tunes starts out with a Strathspe, which is a very dignified country dance. Of course, you know, that was as far as we got with it. Okay, so, and the last tune was actually written by a young woman who was only 15 when she wrote this fiddle tune, an awesome tune called Catharsis. And it's by Amy Kahn. Oh, yeah, Captain Keeler.
Okay,
he's old news.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. All right.
And, thank you.
So before the band puts away their instruments, we were wondering if they could play along on a sing-along. One last goodbye for everybody. We all have to join in on a tune. So raise your hands. You know Simple Gifts? You all know the song Simple Gifts? Very basic. We're going to pass on the lyrics, take them home. So you can throw them in your pocket, and when you're waiting for the bus at the metro or station or something, pull it out, start singing, and maybe somebody will drop you a dollar. No.
It's contagious. Yeah.
You can whistle it, too. Actually, if for those of you who don't like to sing, you can whistle Simple Gifts. And I would also like to say, before you all break loose, I know it's getting late, if you love to say that you pitched in on an effort and you are able-bodied and fairly... anyway, good on your feet. We need everybody to help, or people who can help, carry a chair down. If you each carried one chair down the stairs, then we could all go home sooner. But only take the black ones, leave the gray ones. And if you don't feel like doing it, that's fine. But if you really feel like helping out, that'd be great. And you could even take it to the blue pickup truck that's four cars to the right when you go out the bottom door and set it in the back of that blue pickup truck.
We're going to bring Therese back up. Maybe Clara. We're going to sing. Is Claire still here?
So Therese is, we're going to do this in D.
We're going to bring Kirsten back up, our whistler of the evening. And Kirsten, we're going to kind of make sure we're playing in the same key. So how should we do
this?
Do you
want to start it out?
Why don't we let the instrumentalist play it through once, and then we can all sing it.
You start.
Thank you.
Well, that sound falls for tonight, huh? We can take us out on some more songs. I'll keep
Thank
that
you,
cranking. Thank you to Claire Robinson. Did she go home already? She's
oh,
back
thank
here.
Thank you, Claire. Oh, she's doing the right
oh,
thing.
Oh, Claire.
Yeah.
Anywhere. She's asleep.
She's sleeping.
Okay, she's asleep. Well, thanks
and
to Claire.
And thanks to all of you who came
thank
from
you.
Out of town.
Thank you, Therese, for coming
and
back up here playing with the fiddlers.
And the Dowry Band.
Thanks, Susan and
band.
Company. Thanks, Kirsten, the whistling
Yay,
crowd.
Kirsten, the whistler.
And thanks, Maren, for singing. And thank you for organizing everything, putting it all together, calling all the people, making all the arrangements, getting all the cookies, putting everything out, loading up the car with chairs, signing out the chairs from the church down the street, and making it all happen. That's Maren.
You're welcome.
And thank you for Johnny C., the Grandmaster Podcaster. Have a good night.